Thank you very much, Anna. So maybe I should just say what we're going to do now. I'm going to show a few slides of projects that I've worked on. I can't offer solutions for Anna's digital storytelling problems, but maybe by looking at a few examples of artists that I've worked with, we can look at different types of storytelling. So I've tried to select artists to work in an intermedial way and to also speak in the issues they seek out to some of the problems that Anna just talked about. So some of the projects work with scientists, some of them work within a scientific context. So we come look at the question of interdisciplinarity. There are also examples of working in the field, so our field-based curiosity can come in here. And then the two terms that Anna mentioned of the Indu structures and Impera structures also come into play in the examples which I'm going to show. I'll start us off here. Yes. There we are. So artist Marcus Coates, he's worked a lot on extinction, so I thought I'd pick an example of extinction because it relates so closely, particularly to these two examples of bodies of work he's created of human-animal relationships. And here he tries to develop empathy, which is something that Anna talked about, empathy. How can we have empathy with other species? And particularly also, how can we relate what we abstract about a species to something specific? So I'm just going to read a very short story. It's not a subtle story. So that's normally a story that goes shown with this small piece of sculpture. So he writes, Marcus Coates writes, standing about 85 centimeters tall with a width of approximately 27 centimeters, the flightless great auk was the largest of the alcid family. Includes guillemots, puffins, and razorbills. It had a black head, beak, wings, and back, and a white belly. A single egg was laid on bare ground. The egg averaged 12.4 centimeters in length and 7.6 centimeters across at the widest point. The egg was yellowish white to light ochre. And then he quotes from a book by Richard Ellis, No Turning Back, The Life and Death of Animal Species, and writes, the last pair, great auks, found incubating an egg, was killed there, Eldey Island, Iceland, 3rd of July, 1844, with John Branson and Sigur Eslefsson strangling the adults and Kettle Kettleson smashing the egg with his boot. So the artist writes, to generalize a species or abstract it is to ignore the individual. Without seeing the individual, the human struggles to find empathy, thus creating a separation and a relationship of little or no consequence. So this is one piece of sculpture, and now I did a few years ago. He still works on the great auk. He just spent some time in Newfoundland to develop an apology to the great auk. And now something completely different, which he's just developed. Again, the relation between human bodies. So you'll all be familiar with this game of you form with your hands a shadow that creates a shadow against the wall. And so he created a number of these plaster sculptures to refer to absent animals. So this is the Labrador duck, which is said to be one of the first North American endemic bird species that got extinct after European settlers arrived. This is the Irish elk, which got extinct supposedly under the weight of its own antlers, which overgrow the body size of the animal. And then the worm of endemic to Tasmania, which gone extinct. Well, it only ever been found once in the 1970s. And there's a lot of hydroelectric generation going on in this area. And there was a search for the worm in the 1990s, and they couldn't find a single one, so it's presumed extinct. So this is one sort of body of works I want to show you. Next one is it's a bit more complicated, this project. So I will just see if I can encapsulate this very quickly. So on the left-hand side, you see an image by an ecologist. I wanted to show how we are always within the situation, we are always within the field, and what you see if you're within the field. So here, the ecologist, early 20th century, holds up this piece of paper in order to highlight something, but we always have to see the interconnection with this, what is going on around it, and that's a difficulty, but also it's our embeddedness within the natural environment that makes it difficult to step back from it. And on the right-hand side, you see artist Christel Lebarge, he's a photographer, and we found at the Natural History Museum in London a collection of historic ecological photographs, and she tried to find ways of how to reveal the historic knowledge and data which is in archives. So in fact, it's something that became quite interesting. How do we unlock existing archives? Instead of trying to look forward or to just be in the present, how can we gather the information that we already have in order to see this, to see the evidence in the present and possibly predicted for the future. So you can see here Christel, you can see the arm on the right-hand side by Kath, who's a botanist who did a lot of field work with Christel in order to retrace some of the images that they found in the archive. Next slide. So, and as a principle of montaging these different bits of information together that come from different disciplines, photographer working with botanist, working with the historic protagonist of early ecology, how can you collate this information? So sorry about the poor slide, but you can have information there about the habitat she worked in, drawn from different sources on the right-hand side, maps, historic photograph, her retracing in the contemporary photograph. Next slide. Here, I just want a quick example of the what Anna called the impera structures. So this is by an Australian artist, indigenous Australian artist, who thinks about the ownership of land. So ownership of land is a really important question when you consider systems. And he particularly looks at his own continent, Australia, which was invaded by the Europeans in 1788. And so his description, we call them pirates out here, is to deliberately turn perspective. And he does so by doing comparative analysis. So he obviously is this key moment of European settlers, Cook arriving on the shore of Botany Bay, which is modern day Sydney, and how that on the right hand side was imagined later on in 1902, and how he then imagined this as a contemporary Aboriginal Australian later on in 2006. finally, one example which, if you go to the Natural History Museum in Berlin, is by Elizabeth Price. And this exemplifies how you can take a species and you can take it as a lens through which you can unravel economic, social, political histories, like the examples that you've shown us, but here through this particular form which she found. And again, it's sort of intermediate. So this is a research image. So there's this event in the archive. She discovers these bones of a whale, it's a bowhead whale, or Grönlandwal. Next slide. And traced where the whale bones came from, how they were acquired in the museum, revealing the economic networks, diplomatic networks the Natural History Museum had at the time, late 19th century, why whales were collected at the time, because it was noticed, because of the industrial hunting of the animals, they were going extinct, so therefore people drew attention to it. It was worthy then to be put into a natural history museum. Now still the whales are an icon of contemporary as well as historic environmentalism. And then the whale haul, which was set up in the 1930s, was then bombed in February 1945, which you can see on the right-hand side. With this lifeless remnants of the whale floating in the rubble. And I think this is my last slide coming up. No. So again, the intermediate aspects of it, storytelling. So she wrote a piece of prose essentially to go within the installation at the Natural History Museum, images and the stories that she imagines how humans lived with creatures from the sea, how they shaped themselves by exploiting the baleens, the bones, the oils for light and so on, and finds light. And this is the invitation to the viewer of to sit down in the installation space, in the gallery space, to pick up a story, to pick up this booklet and to read the story, and at the same time to look out through this particular window in the gallery space to imagine the whale hall, because this is the, now this is the courtyard you can see there where the whale hall used to be. So it's drawing attention and to observe the environments, and she correlates geological formations below the museum with those of the natural evolution of not just the whale but also humans. Yeah. So maybe I'll leave you with the final image, the forest, and we can talk. So now we're going to chat for about 20 minutes or so, and then we can ask lots of questions.